You are listening to the Developing Up Podcast.
This is the podcast focused on the non-technical side of being a developer.
Good afternoon, Mike. How's it going?
Hey, Jake. How you doing?
I'm too.
I guess I didn't answer your question. It's going pretty well. It feels like we haven't recorded in a while.
We really haven't recorded in what seems like forever.
Yeah. I mean, to our listeners, that may be surprising because they're like, what are you talking about? There was an episode just 2 weeks ago. But that's just the magic of radio, or I guess magic of podcasting. Unfortunately, Jake and I don't always get to get together every 2 weeks. But I enjoy the time we do get to spend together, Jake.
I do too. And you've been doing some pretty cool things while you've been away. So it's all good.
Yeah, I agree. And the stuff you do is pretty cool too. I always feel like you give me a compliment and I don't return one.
That's okay.
But it's been good, you know. It helps relieve stress.
Stress, you say?
Stress, you say. So today's episode, as you may know from the title, we're talking about stress as developers and how to prevent it and why stress may not be the most healthiest thing for developers.
And I think we all know that stress isn't healthy, but sometimes we just let it happen. And we don't take steps to proactively get rid of it or combat it or even prevent it. And unfortunately, it is something that happens to everyone at some point in time. And we're trying to uncover today more obvious causes of stress and how we can go about preventing them.
Yeah, ways to help you prevent stress in your own development careers so you can do the best work possible. So I thought today, Jake, maybe we talk about, you know, what are some causes of stress as a developer? Maybe why? A little bit more why stress is bad in development and, you know, how it can mess with your work. And then some tips and ideas on how to prevent development stress. And we'll see where it goes from there.
That sounds great. Good. So one thing that I thought was interesting in reviewing these notes, Mike, is that you really boiled it down into two digestible categories when it comes to stress. And I never thought about stress this way. So I thought that was really helpful. Would you care to elaborate for us?
Yeah. So, I mean, when you think about it, for anybody, developers or non-developers, stress comes from two places. Either it comes from internally, you're causing stress in yourself, or externally, the world or the environment you're in is putting stress on you. I don't know if there'd be anything besides internally and externally, but those are the two ways to look at it. There's internal stresses, so let's talk about that. And the number one big one that happens to a lot of developers is imposter syndrome. Jake, have you heard of imposter syndrome?
I sure have. And I think imposter syndrome, whether or not you've heard of it, is something that everyone has felt before. And imposter syndrome is really just feeling like you're not as good as your peers, or that you have to work harder to strive to be not necessarily someone else, but to be better at what you're doing so that you're quote unquote qualified to be a developer in this sense.
And Jake, with imposter syndrome, it's easy to feel that as a developer, maybe especially in junior developers, if you're a junior or a new developer, that the work you do and the kudos you get for the great code you write, I mean, eventually someone's going to figure out, you know, you're not supposed to be there. What you did was a fluke, that you're not as good as you are. And eventually your boss is going to find out, your manager is going to find out. And that adds a lot of stress to ourselves to think that way.
I'd agree with that, Mike, because when you are operating under that assumption or under that attitude, you're stifling your own confidence, and your confidence is what is going to allow you to execute something to your highest potential, which is something that we always want to do, but imposter syndrome is something that will get in the way of that. So we also have real programmer syndrome, and real programmer, I like to think of as in quotes, like, oh, I'm not a real programmer.
That's how I think of it too. Like anytime I see it written, it's like, quote, real programmer, unquote.
Right. And the real programmer syndrome, as we call it, can be a result of imposter syndrome. And it's feeling like to be a real quote unquote developer, you need to develop all the time.
Yeah. It's this idea that you're only a developer or a programmer if you're, that's all you do. Like you live, eat, breathe, and sleep development. And at some point in your life as a developer, that may be true. I know in college I was that way. I would go to my computer science courses all day and then go home and just code all night long. If you don't do that, that does not mean you're not a real developer.
I think what makes you a real developer is if you develop.
Simply stated, yes, Jake, I believe that. If you are writing code, if you're a developer, you know, you're a developer, however much time you spend on it.
Yeah, and if you're unable to accept that, then that really is the result of imposter syndrome. So if you are feeling imposter syndrome, you need to give yourself the license. You need to give yourself the permission to understand that you're not an imposter.
Yeah, and the real programmer syndrome comes from imposter syndrome, from what I understand, is because you think all your peers and your coworkers, that's what they do, is they go home, or the best developers you know, they go home and they're just constantly working on new code or writing new functionality, which is true. They may be doing that, but that doesn't mean they're any better or harder working developer than you are.
Right.
That can add stress to you wanting to do your best work. And then finally, I think a way that we cause stress internally for ourselves is when we're unable to collaborate or ask others for help. And we kind of touched on this, Jake, in our episode on successful development teams, where if your ego is greatly tied to your code and you can't work with others, you know, it's going to be real stressful with all the burdens you're going to carry.
You're taking on too much and eventually you're going to sink. You're not going to be able to keep up with it all without feeling stressed.
Yeah, you're going to take on too much burden. And the more you take on, the less you can complete, the more stressed out you get as a developer. Now, externally for development stress, it's been my experience that on projects, there is a lot of added pressure that can be stressful to developers.
Absolutely. They can come from all angles. So this could be asked from your clients or your managers. It could be unrealistic timelines, whether or not they've always been there, whether or not it's a surprise. Or it could be a project just kind of blows up out of nowhere. Maybe you didn't plan on working something on that day, but for whatever reason, something happened in the code base or someone else needs help. And all of a sudden you had your plate full, but now it's even fuller.
We all love those Friday afternoons before a project's supposed to launch when your project manager says, "Hey, did you remember this requirement that is on this page of page 22 of the original RFP that the client is expecting? And it's 2 weeks worth of work that you need to get done tonight.
We haven't talked about it until now."
Yeah.
Yeah. No one likes those.
Never happens. Never happens in development. But that can add stress on a project. And I mean, it's outside your control and sometimes you have to deal with it. And then externally causes of stress are work-life imbalances. And we've talked about work-life and why it's important to keep that in balance. But focusing on one more than the other. So whether you're letting your work dominate all your life, or you're letting your personal life dominate over the work you have to get done, leaving one of those neglected is going to add stress in your life, either because one is getting neglected and it's stressful about that, or just because things aren't getting done that need to be to keep your life in balance.
And we have a episode about work-life imbalance. I'm trying to figure out what the number is. We'll link to it in the show notes, but that is also a great episode that covers that a little bit more in detail and how you can strike a healthy balance between your career and your personal life. So Mike, I would sum this up by saying externally is basically stress that is induced by something that is out of your control, whereas internally is stress that is caused by something you are doing or you have done.
Yeah, those are the two places that stress comes from for developers, or for anybody, I guess. I mean, stress is universal. Now, why is too much stress bad for developers? And I'm going to preface this with, I think, and we've talked about this in our previous episode, Jake, which is on procrastination versus procrastination, that some stress is good. As a procrastinator, I need stress to really help me focus on getting a task done. So I think some stress is healthy, but too much stress can be very bad and unhealthy.
You want enough stress to create a sense of urgency that is going to help light that spark and keep you going and stay focused, but you don't want so much stress that you feel like you're not able to keep up with what you need to do and you're not able to get it done.
Yeah, so one of the outcomes of too much stress, and Jake, I know we've both experienced this at different times, is burnout, right? Development burnout. If you're just stressed out all the time on the development tasks you have to do, eventually there's only so much of that you can take and you're going to burn out as a developer and not be able to produce any viable work. And we actually have an episode on burnout as well, which we'll link to in the show notes.
Also a great episode in discussing the different kinds of burnout and how you can prevent them. I know that the one that I remember most, let's see, I think there were three. There was the frenetic burnout, there was the under-challenged burnout, and then there was another one. But the frenetic burnout is basically when you are just overworking yourself to try to get to the next level. And I think that is also tied in with imposter syndrome.
Yeah, I would say so. And then too much stress for developers can also lead to health issues, which, you know, that's not good for anybody, whether that is from, I mean, stress in general can lead to health issues. But if you're stressful on the work you're doing, you may just not be getting as much exercise, or, you know, you may be changing to an unhealthy diet just to cram those calories in so you can get back to your work that you have to get done, or whatever other health issues you may run into.
It can also impact your sleeping. That's the big one that comes to mind. I find that when I'm stressed, it causes me to not be able to fall asleep easily. And even when I do fall asleep, it's pretty restless sleep. And then that just cascades into the following day. And that becomes an unhealthy cycle that can be tough to get out of sometimes.
Yeah, sleep deprivation has been shown to be worse than being drunk, right? I mean, health-wise, it's probably worse, but also cognitive abilities-wise. Sleep deprivation and lack of sleep, you cannot function as well as normal, which means, you know, too much stress can prevent you from doing your best work. And as a developer and someone who's working on their development career, you want to provide the best work you can for your clients, for your managers, for your coworkers, to really demonstrate the developer you are.
So obviously stress is bad, but what I want to know, Mike, is how I don't have to be stressed anymore.
All right, Jake, you know I have a phrase for this. So for our listeners, let me give you a little backstory before I reveal what it is. So I was at a conference in 2014, a big North American conference, tech conference I like to go to. I had clients there as well. And we were actually, it was a day after sessions, getting ready to go to dinner. And the client called me and was like, hey, we're hanging out by the pool at the hotel. Why don't you come hang out? This was in Austin, Texas. You know, it was wicked hot out. So I was like, yeah, I'll go hang out at the pool. So I'm hanging out at the pool with my clients, which is always an interesting scenario, and you have to be careful when doing that. We were at the time building a really big global platform. You know, we worked 3 years on the project, and it's easy to stress out on that sort of like big deal. And so me and the client were talking about issues running into new challenges we're going to face. And as a developer, I was kind of being like, oh, this is such a big thing. You know, it's going to be hard for us to do all this and to meet these guidelines, or, you know, meet these functionality needs. And my client turns to me and looks at me and just says, Mike, just remember, we're only building sandcastles. And that just like completely changed my perception of things. So the phrase here for preventing development stress
is... Wait, so there was sand by the pool?
No, there was not.
Oh, so it's a saying.
It's just a saying. Yeah, yeah. It's just a saying. That was the scenario of how I heard the saying. So
I know, I'm just kidding.
All right. Jake, I can't read your expressions through the wind filter. Is that what it's called?
Pop filter.
All right.
I'm sorry to derail you, Mike. All right. So he says you were only building sandcastles.
Yeah. And so what that means, and I love that phrase, and kudos to that client if they're listening for giving that to me so many years ago, is that in development, everything we build, it has a very short lifetime. Jake, the work we do web development. The average lifespan for a website is 5 years. So no matter what you're working on, unless it's like nuclear code or stuff for the government, everything you do is probably going to be gone within 5 to 10 years.
It always is. And maybe not even in 5 to 10 years, the way technology is going as developers, it's becoming more and more necessary to redo things sooner.
Right. So the idea that we're only building sandcastle means that there's always going to be this wave of technology change that's going to wipe out what we do.
The tide's going to come in and you're going to have to build it again.
Yeah. So the idea behind that is, you know, don't sweat the small stuff. You're going to make mistakes. You're going to miss some deadlines. You're going to not build something 100% the best way you can because of deadlines or whatever. But that's going to happen. I mean, it's going to be usable as long as it's usable by people who are meant to use it and reaches the audience it needs to. If it's not perfect, don't worry about it.
I really, really like that metaphor. And I remember when you first told me about that, Mike, I had a jaw-dropping moment. I was just so taken aback by it. It's such a genius way of looking at things. And it becomes really easy day-to-day being in the weeds, having these things that feel like they're going to be the end of the world if you don't get it done. But if you really take a step back and look back at all the projects you've ever made, every time you've ever felt stressed about a big project, How often are you talking about that project every day? Probably not at all. It's probably in the past and it's probably going to need to be redone soon. But you got to take a step back and realize that we're not actually saving lives. There's no emergencies, barring some, you know, unique scenarios as developers, making websites, building software. We're not saving the world by any stretch of the imagination.
Yeah, most of us are not. Most some of us maybe. Not. Some, like, you know, working on, you know, health care machines and whatnot. But yeah, I mean, that's what it's about, Jake. And this doesn't mean that it's an excuse to slack on the work you do or the work you produce. Just because you know what you're going to build is going to be wiped away by whatever comes next doesn't mean that's an excuse to not try your best. Because if you think about it, have you ever seen, Jake, when you go to a beach, there's sandcastle building contests?
Oh, they're so awesome.
Right? And there's a difference between just going there with your little pail and shovel and just building what could be determined as a sandcastle and not just a pile of sand versus producing amazing sandcastle work of art that takes hours to do. One's going to leave people more impressed than the other. They're both going to be wiped away by the ocean the same way, but you can, it's not an excuse to do bad work. It's an excuse, actually a challenge to do the best work you can, but just not worry about not getting everything.
Right. You know that it's going to go away eventually. You should put your best foot forward, but you shouldn't be so worried about it that it starts to become an unhealthy fixation that causes you stress.
And what I think it also helps with, and it helped me out a lot with, is separating yourself from your code and your ego from team decisions. You don't always have to be the decision maker. Everything doesn't have to always be built the way you want it to be. You can share responsibilities with team members, follow someone else's lead when they have more expertise than you, and not just hold back because it's not being done your way. So remember, to prevent development stress, just remember you're only building sandcastles as a developer.
So good. And then another way that you can prevent development stress is to actually get away from what is causing the stress. So stepping away from the computer, maybe going for a 10-minute walk, or do some sort of non-development related hobby that will help you challenge your mind or help get your mind off of what it is you're stressed about. That could be something like watching TV or playing video games for someone else, and maybe exercising, whatever it is that helps you relax or get your mind off something. That's a good thing to practice, particularly if you're going through a potentially stressful phase.
Yeah, and Jake, I think of this when, you know, as developers, when in my experience, a lot of us are stubborn, or I guess since I am a stubborn developer, I think we all are. When you get a problem, you just want to sit there and solve it, and you want to rack your brain until you get it working, but that's not always helpful, and you're going to stress out and start driving towards the same path and doing the same mistakes, and it's not working. So that's where it's good to put your computer down, get up, take a 10-minute walk, and just put it out of your mind and let your subconscious work on it.
I feel like we may have discussed this on an episode once, because I know we've brought up code dreams before.
Oh, yeah.
But there have been so many times where I am working on something and I cannot find the solution and it is driving me crazy. And I'll work late and I will then go to bed. I will not be able to sleep. I'll toss and turn all night having like these weird abstract like code-induced dreams. And I'll really stress out about it. It will drive me crazy. And then like that's hours wasted. And then the next morning I'll come in and I'll sit down and be like, oh, bam, done.
Yeah.
5 minutes. And it's crazy what just getting away and coming back with a fresh set of eyes will do.
And this leads into what we talked about for why too much stress is bad, where we mentioned, you know, sleep deprivation. So if you are sitting there staying late, because you just can't solve this problem, and then you go home, you sleep for just like a few hours and you get up and you come back and you're still, you know, you're not rested and you're still just focused and anxious about that problem, you're going to not make any progress. Where if you can say, it's the end of the day, I'm going to put this down, you know, there's no emergencies that need to get this done right now, get some rest, come back for fresh set of eyes, maybe have a code dream or two. And then, yeah, just come back at it with fresh and think of it in a different way.
It's hard to walk away from, but it really does make all the difference in the world.
And with having non-developer hobbies, as you mentioned, Jake, I find that's a great way to just stretch your mind and exercise your mind in a different way than development does. What would you think of that?
Absolutely. And especially if you can get away from a computer and do something that is going to take your mind away, not necessarily something that you need to do to occupy yourself, if that makes any sense. I know like you know, runners get runner's highs and they just go and they focus. They're not necessarily always focusing on exactly what they're doing and how they're moving their body. They're just in a stream of consciousness. I'm not a big runner, so I can't exactly say what that feels like, but it must be awesome. So if you're a runner, congratulations. But I know for me, it's doing something analog and getting away from a computer and just trying to make my mind think in a different way.
So I haven't brought up books in a while, but I actually have two books that relate to this, Jake, both just getting away from what's causing the stress. The first one is Deep Work by Cal Newport. He's also done a number of podcast episodes on it recently, and we'll link to his book in our show notes. What Cal's whole idea is, you know, we're not good at it, but everyone nowadays is really about constant contact switching and focusing on the most immediate thing they need to and just switching back and forth. And as developers, we can do that. Like, you have your email open, you're focusing on that, you're writing your code, you're switching back to your email. And that causes stress because you're not providing the time you need to focus on that one problem. So one of the things he talks about in his book is shutting everything down except for that one thing you need to focus on and just working through that and setting aside a bunch of time just to focus on that one thing, drown everything else out. And if you can give it 100% focus, you won't take as much time to do it.
I like that. I remember you brought this up a couple weeks ago, and I actually have added that to my reading list. I haven't gotten to it yet, but someone else had mentioned it in the meantime too in another podcast I was listening to. So I'm looking forward to reading that.
It's a really good book. And the other one I wanted to link to is How to Invest Your Time Like Money by Elizabeth Grace Saunders, which I think I might have mentioned before. It's a 63-page book. It's really small. And her whole idea is planning out your time and really setting aside specific chunks of times, like a repeatable pattern for your day, for your week, for your month, however you want to do it, which helps you remove the burden of the stress for when you are supposed to be working on something. Like, you know, hey, this time I have set aside to work on my free time code project, my personal code project. That's when I'm going to work on it. I'm not going to worry about doing it later on. Or like, I'm going to check my email at these times. I'm going to spend time with my family at these times. So you don't have to stress that during this time you're supposed to be doing something else because you have everything planned out.
A lot of people might feel that when they try to plan out certain parts of their day, they feel that that causes even more stress.
Like trapped.
They feel trapped by their own schedule. But I would challenge you to try that out if it is something that you're hesitant about, because I felt the same way. And when I did it, I realized actually how much more free I felt from having everything segmented out in a way that I didn't need to worry about it because I know it's already been accounted for.
Speaking with people may feel trapped by their schedule, one of the things that Elizabeth says in her book is to remember that you're not beholden to your schedule. Your schedule is beholden to you. So she might say it a different way. I tried to use a fancy word. So it's that, like, you're not stuck in what your schedule is. It's just a guideline for you to help ease your stress and make sure you're spending your time wisely. So, all right. So to get away from what's causing your stress, focusing on something that's not related to development and stepping away from the problem is a great way to help prevent development stress.
And then one final note on how to combat development stress is to ask for help, because you have a team and they're there to help you. And if you find yourself trying to do everything all by yourself, you're going to end up either burning out or drowning in stress. So use your team, ask for help, and you can even delegate if the scenario allows for it.
Yeah, we also talked about this, Jake. This kind of goes back to the Great Development Teams episode, where collaboration is a big part of that. If you're not willing to collaborate with others, you won't get as much done. And I think also with the precrastination episode as well, this, you know, you're going to feel that burden on your shoulders and that you don't have enough time to do everything.
And I think not only will this prevent stress, but it's easier to fight stress if you are in the same boat with someone else. You feel there's a sense of comfort that comes along with sharing an experience. And even if it does cause stress, you know you're not alone in that.
Suffering together is better than suffering together alone.
There's some sort of comfort there. And I think there's something to be said for that.
Yeah, I could see that. Like, and it could be also encouraging, and then a way to encourage each other if you're working with someone else and you're both stressed in your team, that we're going to get through this together. We're going to figure out a way to make this easier. Right? It gives you that drive to help someone else if it's harder for you to help yourself.
And if you are a developer who doesn't actually have a team to work with, there's still communities out there. And there's nothing wrong with reaching out to people in that way too. And just, even if it's just commiserating with someone, that can help as well.
Yeah, I would say, but be careful about venting too much online with other communities. I mean, venting is a good way to get rid of stress, but yeah, if you work by yourself, just make sure you have someone else you can talk to and talk through problems and issues, even if it's a rubber duck.
I like that method. Still haven't tried it. Still,
you still haven't done the rubber duck?
Still feeling a little weird about it, but I like it. I like it. I think I still need to borrow your rubber duck, but I haven't done that
yet. It's available on my desk anytime you need to talk to my rubber duck.
I appreciate it.
So yeah, so to prevent development stress, just remember, only building sandcastles. Take a moment to step away from whatever causing the stress or the problem. Clear your mind. And then if you need it, be sure to ask others for help.
Well said.
All right, Jake. So how about we give our listeners a couple of key takeaways?
Sounds good, Mike. So key takeaways. All developers experience stress. In fact, all people, everyone experiences stress at some point. Now, some stress is healthy and can motivate you and creates a sense of urgency, which is good, but it can also become too much. And too much stress is a bad thing.
And stress can come from internally on actions or ways that you are acting, as well as externally from outside sources.
Too much stress can prevent you from doing your best work. So you want to be sure to look out for signs of burnout or imposter syndrome, or as we said, the quote unquote real developer syndrome, where you're constantly comparing yourself to someone else.
Now, to prevent development stress, number one thing you want to do is just remember, you're only building sandcastles.
Another thing you can do to combat stress is to also step back from the problem. Or if the problem is on your computer, take a step back from your computer now and then. Take a break and try to do something that challenges your brain in a different way or allows you to decompress.
And then finally, if you just have too much burdens, too many things on your plate, if you need it, raise your hand and ask for help. As a developer who works on a team, if you work with other people, it's so important to be able to ask for help when you need it.
Let's open this up to our listeners, Mike, and perhaps we ask them, what is your favorite way to alleviate stress? You can let us know via Twitter. We're at DevUpPodcast, and you can also send us an email that is hello@developingup.com.
And I want to thank you for the listeners who, from previous episodes, have sent us messages at hello@developingup.com and comments and ideas for episodes. We read all the emails. We try to reply to them the best we can. And we really appreciate the feedback.
Thank you very much, everyone, for contributing. Mike mentioned some great books on this show. And just to remind you, you can find our show notes at developingup.com/the episode number. And today's episode number is episode 21. So it is developingup.com/21. You can read the show notes, get links to those books that Mike mentioned, and also join into any pertinent discussion going on around stress.
All right, listeners, Jake and I need your help to help us alleviate some of our stress. So this is us asking for help. Please, if you could, leave us a positive rating or review on iTunes or Google Play or Stitcher, wherever you get your podcasts. It helps us know what to talk about, as well as we love hearing your responses and seeing what everyone thinks.
And if you know anyone who is stressed right now, then shoot them a link to this episode, developingup.com/20.
One.
And see if it... developingup.com/21. And help them out.
All right. I'm feeling relaxed, Jake. How are you doing?
I'm feeling pretty good.
All right. So I hope everyone listening, you're able to keep the stress free in your development until 2 weeks from now.
We'll see you all then.